kids that come to our camp, you know, I tell them, I'm like, look, if we're in there to see you, we watch you from the second you get out of your car, the second you get back in your car. You know, we're watching how you treat your parents. We're watching what you do pregame. We're watching what you eat at the concession stand. You know, all those things, they're all important.
No good player has ever said, well, who else is going to be the shortstop? The best players just say, sign who you want. I'm going to beat them, right?
And the other thing for baseball players, if you want to be a great baseball player and play at the highest levels, then be an athlete first.
Hello and welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, where the coaches hang out with Walter. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Baseball Blue Book. If it has to do with baseball, it has to be in the book. The question for you, are you in the book? Now let's join our host, Walter Beattie.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Coach's Corner, where each and every Thursday evening, Coach Serrano and myself spend some time, college coaches from around the country, all levels, all divisions. And this week, Coach Serrano is out west attending to a family member. And in his absence, I'm going to take the lead here and spend some time in a part of the country that I lived for 7 years. I grew to love, still have many, many friends that live in the greater New Orleans program. And contrary to popular belief, there are Division I programs over and above LSU and Tulane within the greater New Orleans area. And today we get to talk to a former LSU great, now as a head coach of the University of New Orleans, Blake Dean. Thank you, Blake, for joining us today.
No question. Thanks for having me.
You're very, very welcome. You know, one of the things, you know, and I knew back in the 80s that UNO under Coach Maestri was an extreme, what I would call borderline baseball powerhouse. Names like Randy Bush, former Minnesota Twins, Wally Whitehurst with the Mets, Johnny Giavitella as of recent with the Angels and the Royals. But you kind of went through some growing pains post-Katrina while you were a student at LSU. But and now coming back to UNO and trying to restore that program to Division I glory, tell me what attracted you, A, to the position, and B, what it's been like over the last 8 years since you've been the head coach.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I was looking to get into coaching, right? And I tell people all the time that, you know, I assumed my playing career would open that door for me to make it a little bit easier. And I tell people all the time, no one really cares about your playing career. The only thing it does is it gets the phone picked up. That's about all. You know, so these other guys that may not get, you know, I get emails all the time, you know, for jobs and stuff like that, and guys trying to come break into the to college coaching. All it did was get the door opened a little bit. And so Coach Venneri actually helped me get down here. Ron Maestri came out of retirement, and it was just kind of a great situation, a great fit where I got to come in and kind of get my feet wet in a program that was once a very historic program. Katrina kind of killed this place. I think Tom Walters was kind of the end of the run here. He was even suffering it at the very end of his career, the aftermath of that. And one thing led to another to where, you know, I got an opportunity at 27 years old to take over a program. And I tell people it was probably wasn't deserving. At that time being, I was probably wasn't the best option. I was just the right option. And so it worked out beautifully. And we, you know, took a program that was 5-55 the 2 years prior in conference, and you know, struggled to where we won 31 games our first year and had the second biggest turnaround in Division I baseball. And we haven't looked back since then. So it's been a grind. It's been awesome. And it's, you know, it's been a true blessing to get to kind of build this thing back up from the ground.
You know, one of the things, you know, I don't want to get lost there, and a few coaches you threw out there, Coach Venneri, obviously a coaching icon from Notre Dame and obviously LSU, and Tom Walters, now currently the head coach at Wake Forest. So, you know, obviously the legendary coach in Ron Maestri, you know, being at UNO during the what I call the prime years back in the 80s. So talk a little bit about being that Division I program in the Southland Conference with regard to recruiting and rebuilding. A lot of your guys obviously come from Louisiana, but I know you being from Florida, you do some recruiting in the southern states. So talk a little bit about your recruiting efforts and where they tend to be focused on.
To be honest, you know, when I first got here, you know, it was everyone in the city and pretty much the state knew the severity of the decline of the institution. So I wasn't getting those guys from the Catholic League and, you know, the top tier guys, but I knew in order to get better, I couldn't take the third or fourth best player at the school or institution either. So we kind of used New Orleans to our advantage. You know, I tell people all the time, and it's no throwing no shade at these other schools, but if I go talk to a kid in Pittsburgh, right, and they've never heard of Thibodeau, Natchitoches, Lake Charles, I mean, half of them never even heard of Baton Rouge outside of, you know, LSU being there, but everyone knows where New Orleans is, you know, and so we use that to our advantage to go get kids that weren't afraid of the, you know, the city life, the big, the, you know, things that go on within a city, and they're, you know, kids from Miami that were used to this. I mean, I've had kids from basically every corner of where we've gone. And so that's kind of where we attacked this thing from the very beginning, was going and finding the best possible player we could find. And I tell people this all the time, that it's funny, but it's the truth, is we had very smart baseball players, but not very good baseball players. I said, so I needed to go find that little less academically inclined kid that was a better baseball player and kind of build this thing, because wins draw attention, wins draw interest, wins draw kids that want to come here. Now, eventually, obviously, we've got the academics to where we want them with the success. But that's kind of what we did. Was we went and got junior college guys that were now ready and from all over the country. And we brought them in here, and we still kind of use that to our advantage. Of, if you look at it historically over our time here, we've had great success down in Miami and South Florida area. Those guys love coming up here. Again, we've got guys from all over. We don't just recruit in this area. We try to find ways to filter out, because there's so many good Division I programs, Southern Miss, South Alabama, Tulane, UL, Tech. I mean, you can just go over the list within a 2-hour radius. We're all going for the same guys.
You know, and the big thing is as you kind of touched upon, and a lot of people may be unfamiliar with the academic strength or the academic acumen that UNO has. It's a really great business school, but also it's very affordable for an out-of-state, you know, student athlete and their family. So it does make it attractive. But, you know, talking about your facilities, your amenities, the fact that you're in a major metropolitan city and you play within the Southland Conference, your overall schedule year in and year out between the Southland and your out-of-conference games, LSU, I know you play Tulane. I mean, there's a lot of strength to the schedule that you play year in and year out.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think, you know, obviously being down here in the South, it's some of the best baseball that you're going to see, you know, across the board. So, you know, I think we finished this past season, we finished in the top 100 RPI in the country. You know, and so we're playing good opponents. I mean, I think we've played University of Texas multiple times since I've been here in weekend series. We've been to Arkansas, Ole Miss. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, your mid games, I tell people, are, you know, like you said, Tulane, South Alabama, Southern Miss, LSU. I mean, the list goes on of high-end competition that you're going to play. So, again, from the Southland Conference, and I tell people all the time, I feel the Southland is undervalued from some of the, you know, the way people look at it from a baseball standpoint. You see across the board all the time, the Southland goes out and plays high-end competition. Heck, just 2 years ago, we ended up beating University of Oklahoma 2-3 in Norman the year they played in the national championship. You know, so, and this ain't no midweek game. It's their week in arms and week in eyes. So competition is, in baseball, especially down here, it's top of the line for sure.
Now, talk a little bit about your recruiting preferences. You know, in today's world, we're portal-driven at all levels of baseball. But talk a little bit about, I know you and Coach Norris Dax is a former Alabama pitching coach. Now he's one of your assistant coaches there at UNO. What is the focus of the UNO staff as far as the hierarchy? Is it portal, JUCO, postgraduate, and high school? Where does the high school student athlete fit in your recruiting process?
Yeah, so the portal is still not something that we're really on yet, because we can't, you just can't rely on that. It's too unreliable. It's too much of the unknown. And most of the time, quite frankly, you know, we're giving, you know, our portal is giving away one of our best players to go to LSU or something like that. Dylan Cruz is not leaving LSU to come to a mid-major Division I program. Right. So I can't put all my eggs in a basket on that. And, you know, typically the guy we get is the guy that is at an LSU that got his 10 at bats and wants to, you know, potentially go play. And maybe you find a diamond in the rough there that was, you know, lucky. But I tell people, if he can't play at LSU, that doesn't just necessarily mean he can go play over here. Right. It's still competition. It's still a high level of competition. So we put some value into the portal. Not a lot right now, currently. You know, so for me, hierarchy would probably go, honestly, junior college, high school, then portal. You know, and again, the high school kid is, it's got to be the right high school kid. A lot of these high school guys still don't like the fact of coming in and understanding that they're young. They may take some development and there may be some rough patches they're going through. They may not start right away. So that's kind of the thing that you try to get these young guys to understand is the process of getting there. And so when we do get a high school kid, I got to make sure it's the right one, the one that we can develop, get better. He fits into what we're trying to do. And then from there, we always go junior college heavy. But now with what you're seeing with the portal is now it's starting to water down junior college because the guy that leaves LSU that may go to Eunice or Delgado is no longer going to Eunice or Delgado. They're going to another Division I. And now these junior colleges are missing on these Division I kickbacks. So it's starting to kind of gear towards more of a high school kid, honestly, because, again, you know what you're getting, right? It's there. It's for sure. And you can improve upon it. So it's ever evolving and changing with this portal, but that's kind of how we handle it.
Now, I think it's really refreshing, and I know, you know, a little bit about what you do as a coach, and I've had some guys that have played at UNO during your time and tenure there as the head coach. And I want to talk a little bit about that high school development dynamic, both mentally and physically. What would you say the biggest hurdle is for the high school athlete that comes into college baseball, specifically at the Division I level, as far as that physical and mental maturation piece? You know, they don't want to spend that time, you know, waiting for their opportunity, but they're not quite ready when they come out of high school. How do you help with that when you're working with the guys in the fall?
Well, I think first off, they got to see they matter. They're important, right? Something I've dealt with a lot is sometimes I get so enamored. Like, I don't talk to the pitchers a ton, right? Because I don't deal with the pitchers a ton. I do all the hitting stuff. So I'm with our hitters more so. And I've kind of heard a common theme over the, hey, you know, we'd like to have a little bit better relationship with coaches because, you know, so I have to do a better job as a coach of with these young guys is, hey, checking in on them, let them know they matter, spending time with them, let them see their value. Because at the end of the day, everyone likes to get a little love. You know, everyone wants to be loved on a little bit. And again, it's finding that, putting them with an older guy as well. The older guy has been through it. He's kind of, you've got to have a leader. And so it's having great leadership within the team to take these younger guys under their belt and say, hey, listen, what you're feeling, this is normal. It'll pass. Let's work. Let's get after it. Let's develop and get to a point to where now, you know, next year, you are this older guy. We can rely on you in those situations. So It's tough. And I tell guys as well, freshmen come in and they think they work hard and they have worked hard. But a lot of these kids are miles and miles away from home. Mom and dad aren't there. They can't go home and get a home cooked meal. They're doing laundry for the first time on their own, on top of delegating a baseball schedule with a school schedule, with a workout schedule, full-time job. So it's really just trying to honestly baby them along the way a little bit to where they feel comfortable, they find their routine, give them a little bit of leniency. And then once they become comfortable, you can see the baseball then starts to improve as well because it's not so much off the field stuff they're worrying about anymore as it is on the field.
Let's talk a little bit about New Orleans. You know, I know for a fact, living in Greater New Orleans, living in Metairie, you know, New Orleans sometimes gets a bad rap, but, you know, the campus it's kind of in the Lakeview area. You have a beautiful field, beautiful facility, and you're able to really spend time in what I consider to be a very historic city on many, many different levels. But, you know, it is the type of city that's accessible for parents. It's near an airport. It's probably 15 miles at best from campus, and you're close by to all of the city attractions. Talk a little bit about the city of New Orleans, the campus of UNO, and what makes it an attractive, viable option for a potential student?
Yeah, well, I tell our student athletes all the time, you know, when I first got here, I was always worried, oh, they're down on Bourbon Street. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, they're going to Mardi Gras. You know, I was kind of more of a stickler of, you know, trying to put my thumb on their neck a little bit more. But the more I do this, the more I see that, man, you want these guys to go do that. You want them to go experience a Mardi Gras. You want them to go try all these different food places and go to the seafood festival and the crawfish. I mean, anything they can make, you know, throw a party to eat, drink, or you know, like that, they're making a name up for it, right? So the people in the state of Louisiana, not only in New Orleans, but the state of Louisiana, they just enjoy sports, eating, and just having a good time with people in general. So it's something that I've really started trying to impress upon our guys more. Go see the city. There's a reason why people from all over the world, not just the United States, but all over the world, want to come visit here. They want to go have a beignet. They want to go ride in a horse carriage downtown. They want to go see what the French Quarter is like. This is, you know, a lot of rich history for these guys. We have the Saints. We have the Pelicans, right? We have PGA golf course. So there's a lot of things that these guys do, but a lot of times they don't realize that they should go check these things out and see them. So it's something that I've really enjoyed as my time here. And I tell these guys all the time, you know, it's not many, you know, Division I programs as well, that right behind our outfield wall, right behind campus, there's Lake Pontchartrain. You go out on the lake, it's unbelievable. Guys, people riding their bikes, there's restaurants, sailboats everywhere. You know, it's New Orleans, it's kind of in it has its little factions, right? There's, you know, if you're really from New Orleans, you know, people say, well, where in New Orleans are you from? Right. There's little pieces and places here and there. And, you know, and so for me, it's, again, one of these things where I always tell our guys coming in, go see a Mardi Gras, right? Like every other big city, there's areas you don't go to. I think that's something that everyone needs to know. But I tell parents all the time, your kid's not going to go missing. If you go looking for trouble, I'm sure you can find it somewhere. Nowadays. But again, enjoy it. Go get the food. Enjoy the culture. Enjoy the rich history of everything. Jazz music. I could really care less about jazz music, but just to go experience it and hear it, it's worth doing once. And these guys have really got to experience some stuff.
Well, I can tell you definitively, having lived it myself personally while my boys were in college, there I was totally blown away at the people, the kindness, the sweetness, the sincerity. It is probably the nicest part of the country with regard to hospitality. There's no such thing as a bad day in New Orleans. I mean, the weather can get you as far as the heat is concerned, but it's no different than where you're from in Florida. So, you know, if you like the South, that you like great food and great music, history, World War II Museum, New Orleans is for you. So I want to talk to you a little bit about, with regard to your camps or your opportunities, how is it that you as a staff would like to have potential student athletes reach out or contact you? Do you like video? Do you prefer that they show up at a camp? Do you want the schedules? How do you want prospective student athletes to reach out to you?
I think the camp is a real good starting place. Obviously, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, don't camps are a moneymaker. Let's not lie and confuse in any capacity. That's how our coaches are, you know, our younger coaches get paid, right? It is. But again, there's a lot of value to them, as I will be at these camps and I can lay my eyes on you. I can see you in person and we can, you know, talk and figure out, you know, obviously whatever it is we need to see with each player. But again, don't go to 30 of them, right? I mean, that's where you start losing yourself. Find four or five that you know your talent level. You think that's a place you can see yourself playing and go there, right? And maybe there's a couple that you kind of go off the cuff just because you'd like to go see New Orleans or you want to go see this place and then it works out. But that's where I would always start. As far as emails, I tell guys this all the time, man, I get 100 of them a day, right? So if you're going to send me an email, you've got to find a way to make yourself stand out. A lot of these emails are all the same. You know, sometimes I get emails from kids and they don't even have my name right. Right. They meant to send it to the other coach that they had on the email list. Right. So, you know, you see it. So that's when you're like, yeah, we're not even going to watch that one. Let's just move on. So, again, I would find a way to connect. If you can find a way to I've had kids somehow find my cell phone number and text it to me. You know, I'm just kind of like, really? But at the same time, I take the time at that point. You went through that type of effort, I'm going to read the message. I'm going to take my time to respond to you and reply to you. But again, I think camps are probably the best way from there. And if you do send a video or an email, make it short and sweet. Get to the point. I don't need to know all, you know, this long stuff. Just give me your stats. Give me some reference points. I think that's important. Give me a coach or two that has seen you play, that is somebody of integrity or somebody I can call and say, you know, for example, yourself, hey, Walter, you know, this kid puts you on this email thread. What do you think of him as a player? Right. I think that saves a lot of time and legwork, because nowadays time is money. Time isn't something you can get back. So you've got to figure out how to value your time. So that's just my opinion, what I think is most important. But I think camps is always a good starting place, honestly.
Well, one of the things, and on that topic, I remember conversing with you as it pertained to Darren Willis. And, you know, I remember you taking the time to really be selective, and I really always appreciated your candor. And I think it paid off for both, you know, you as a program and a staff, and obviously Darren having a great career at UNO, something he looks back on very fondly. And I'd love to kind of ask you, based on our relationship, and I really never ask coaches a lot this question, just if you could just throw out some kind of key metrics, meaning, you know, infielders, you like to see this, outfielders or catchers, you like to see that. What are some of the things that you and your staff kind of use as a baseline, as a potential fit for UNO baseball?
Again, I think that's it's a loaded question, right? Because a lot of times, you know, metrics nowadays, baseball has moved so heavily into, you know, the spin rate. You know, is he in this area? Is his extension? And is this within that realm of things? And again, there's a lot of validity to that. There really is. But I tell people all the time, it's the truth. The machine doesn't register, you know, what type of fight he has, what type of grit he has. It doesn't register the effort and time in which he puts in, you know, those things, that doesn't show that. So again, for us, I think nowadays, especially in Division I, I think the new norm is, you know, velocity wise, you're not going to see many guys at Division I that throw under 90 miles an hour, unless they can sink it, unless they have some secondary pitch that is elite, and things of that nature. From a hitting standpoint, I truly don't care how hard you can hit it. I don't care if your exit velocity, you know, is 95 or 105. I like to know a max, just because, again, if you can hit a ball 112 miles an hour, it's probably going to go a long ways when you connect. Right? But I think at the end of the day, the key to that is what your average is. Are you hitting 1 out of 10 balls 112? Are you hitting 7 out of 10 balls 98 miles an hour? Because, again, we want consistency. That's what baseball is all about. So, again, for me, I'm a big eye test guy. I don't look at a ton of numbers from an analytical standpoint. Some of them, again, have some validity. But I want to know, again, in batting practice, if I ask you to go hit a ball on the ground, can you hit a ball on the ground? You'd be surprised at how many kids can come in and they don't know how to bunt, right? I want somebody that's fundamentally sound, to where I don't spend my time teaching you how to bunt. And these kids don't know how to do this when they come in. And that's probably my biggest challenge when I get hitters coming in here, is knowing what type of hitter you are. You're not a, when I first got here, I put out a test to my players. Hey, do you consider yourself a contact hitter, a gap to gap, a power guy? Who are you? Are you a guy that sets the table? Are you a guy that cleans off the table? Who are you? And I swear to God, I probably had, you know, 15 guys that say they were power hitters and didn't hit, the, you know, 5 or less home runs. I'm like, that's a problem. That's a problem. So for me, I guess it really boils down to, all analytics aside, is I just want to know if you know who you are as a player, and if you know how to polish who you are as a player. If you're a small middle infielder, then I want you to be able to bunt. I want you to be able to hit and run. I want you to work counts. I want you to get hit by a pitch. I want you to do what you do and do it well. But too many times nowadays, you see guys trying to be things that they're not. They all want to hit for power.
Well, I kind of knew the answer to the question, so I really wanted parents to hear that, because I think that's what separates you as a coach. You kind of trust what you see. You really know what it looks like, what it feels like, having been a great player yourself. And I really want to stress to parents and student athletes that if you find yourself really looking for a strong business school in a really great part of the country that's accessible, I promise you with every fiber of my being that UNO checks off all the boxes. And if you take the time to go to a camp, look up and spend some time with Coach Dean and the staff, Coach Norris, you'll find that it's a tremendous opportunity as both a student as well as a student athlete. So, Blake, I want to say thank you very much. I know you're extremely busy, fall meetings and getting ready for the holiday and preparation for the season that lies ahead. If you're in Dallas, love to talk to you, catch up with you at the ABCA. Please tell Dax I said Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And I look forward to catching up with you in 2024.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Hopefully, if you come over, let me know. We'll go get some of this good New Orleans food.
Oh, man, I miss that. Trust me when I tell you. I miss gumbo, jambalaya, and I miss the crop, the mud bugs. I miss mud bug season. That's probably my favorite time of year, right up and through Good Friday. And that's something that still tugs at my heartstrings. So we're going to put all of Coach Dean's information, everything down below. If you're listening on the podcast, it'll be in the description. It'll be down below. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast as well as here on the channel so that you're updated on all of our latest coaching interviews that are both upcoming and have already been scheduled. Blake, thank you very much, and I appreciate your time, Jeff.
Thanks, Warren. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, bud. That was it.